Is that Caden? Is that Caden Watford right over there? Caden, is that you? Stand up over there. Caden Watford. Watford, Caden Watford. I see you too, Brother Tar. I didn't get to shake his hand. Caden was a little bitty boy, and his sister was a little bitty girl. And they were, his daddy was on our staff as our youth director. And his father is a gigantic LSU fan. And Arkansas had whooped LSU in football. Go Hawks. But my wife and I went and bought a little football suit for him and a cheerleader uniform for her, all Razorback red. And we took them in there and decked them out in this little football and cheerleading uniform. And then Brother Watford was up there on the platform. And I brought his children in and said, and I had them call the Hawks, go Hawks. And I'm telling you, his daddy was angry at his kids. I know you got a whooping for that. I'm so glad that you're not surrounded by a bunch of girls, Caden. That means to tell me you come to college for the right purpose. I mean, you're looking at this thing spiritually, trying to, am I right, Caden? Am I right? Yeah. Or it could be something else. I don't know. You can be seated. You heard about these three gals. Man, they wanted to get married so bad, but they were in an accident. They went to heaven. St. Peter met them and said, we only have one rule here in heaven. You cannot step on the ducks. The ducks were everywhere. You can't step on the ducks. And the gal said, well, I don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to keep from stepping on a duck? And sure enough, one, as they began to travel heaven's highway there, one stepped on a duck. When she did, they heard a noise. It was a chain. And all of a sudden, here comes St. Peter, and on the end of that chain, he's got the ugliest man these three women had ever seen. Oh, he was pitiful. And he walked over to the woman that stepped on a duck, and he chained that man, that ugly man, to her and said, now then, you're going to have to live for eternity in heaven with this man. Oh, she was so sad. The other two thought, as they walked away, be careful, we sure don't want to step on a duck. And so a couple weeks went by, and one of the other gals stepped on a duck. Here comes a chain rattling, and St. Peter this man was uglier than the other one. I mean, this guy was pimpled up, huge nose that was crooked. I mean, he had big old ears, and I mean, this guy was ugly. And both of them looked at each other and said, oh, no. Here comes St. Peter, locked that chain onto that woman and stepped on a duck, and off she went. And the other woman said, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can to keep from stepping on a duck. Weeks went by, months went by, years went by. She avoided the duck. All of a sudden, she heard the chain. When she looked, she said, I haven't stepped on a duck. Other than the chain, St. Peter was the most handsome man she had ever seen in her life. Oh, to her, he was gorgeous. She thought, oh, if I could spend eternity with him. And sure enough, St. Peter come over and attached that good-looking man to her. And the woman said, what did I do to deserve this? And the good-looking man said, I don't know what you did, woman, but I stepped on a duck. With that said, I'd like to introduce my wife, Miss Kathy. You stand, please, and look at the crowd. This is Miss Kathy. Turn around, look at everybody. Hey, guess what? She stepped on a duck, and she stuck with me the rest of her life. All right, I don't have much time. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to look with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Let me give you a little story here, and I need to hurry, so follow along quickly if you can. Listen quickly, and I will try to speak quickly. I had a little cabin up in the Ozark Mountains, and had an old wood heater in there, and we'd cut wood. And my grandson and I, Katie's little brother, Jesse, and then my oldest grandson, Joe, they were just little fellows. And I'd taken them up there deer hunting, and we were sitting around the stove and had the fire going good, and we were just sitting there looking at the blaze. And I said, I love looking at wood burn like this. And my grandson Joe said, yeah, Papa, but not hellfire. And I thought about that a minute. And I said, are you sure there's nothing good about hell? He said, no, Papa, there's nothing good about hell. I looked at little Jesse. I said, Jesse, is there anything good about hell? He said, no, Papa, nothing good about hell. And so I thought about that. And then I got my Bible and sat down with a pen, piece of paper, and I wrote this message. And so I want you to listen to these descriptions of hell. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it's called a lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse number 1, it's called a bottomless pit. A horrible tempest in Psalm 11, 6. A place of everlasting burnings, Isaiah 33 and 14. A furnace fire, Matthew 13, 41 and 42. A devouring fire in Isaiah 31, 14. Place of torments. A place of torments, a place of everlasting punishment. A place where people pray in Luke 16. The man in torment cried out. A place where they wail, a place where they curse God. A place where they never repent. A place of filthiness, a place of weeping, a place of sorrow. A place of outer darkness, a place where they have no rest. A place where they have no rest, where they gnaw their tongues. A place of blackness and darkness forever. A place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A place where they are tormented with brimstone. A place from which the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. A place where they do not want their loved ones to come. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I'm told in an Indiana cemetery, there's a tombstone over 100 years old that bears the following epithet. Pa, stranger, when you passed me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. Unknown passerby read those words and underneath scratched this reply. To follow you, I'm not content till I know which way you went. I hope that each one of you have a day where you know you were born into the family of God. Amen. If not, I pray this would be that day. But today, I want you to understand there's a world without Christ. You probably have family members that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we better listen intently to the Word of God and understand if we don't reach them, who's going to reach them? This generation's got to do its job. The Lord's business is still going strong after 2,000 years because somebody said, I'm going to take the Word of God seriously. And I'm going to try to keep people out of hell. Take your Bible, look with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Father, I'd ask your blessings now upon the reading, the preaching of the Word of God. Pray if there's one lost today, they would be saved. And I pray, Father, that you'd help the saved do all that they can. Keep the main thing the main thing. Help us remember people are dying without you, Lord, and going to devil's hell. So please, please stir hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's one thing I thought of, which is a good thing about hell. It's going to be an eternal separation from the righteous, those that know God, and the devil and all his demons. There's going to be a day when Satan has walked up and down the face of this earth for the last time. And we hear people say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, there's going to be a day when the devil won't make you do it any longer. In Matthew 25, verse 41, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Satan will have tempted the last man to sin and rebel against God. I remember the Garden of Eden when Satan come up to Eve and said, hath God said? And that's the way he always goes to work. He tries to cast doubt on thus saith the Lord. And you and I are Bible believers, amen? Yes. You and I have a King James Bible, and we believe it's the very words of God. Yes. Listen to me, preachers, young preacher boys, don't you let anybody take that away from you. There's one thing I know, I've got the Bible. And there's plenty of young men that sit where you sit are out there today, and they're being tempted, and many of them, hook, line, and sinker, are taking that temptation, and they don't believe this old Bible like we believe it. He will have accused the brethren for the last time. He will challenge God. Remember when he went up before Job and challenged him, and he would have done that for his last time. He will have made his last journey on earth. Now he's walking to and fro like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But one of these days, the old devil's going to get his due. Amen. You and I won't have to worry about him anymore. He would have had his last supper. You know what the devil's going to have for his last supper? Deviled eggs and devil's food cake. And he'll be remembered no more. When our Lord Jesus had his last supper, we do that in remembrance of him. He's to be remembered forevermore. But in heaven, we won't even have the thought of Satan. Thank God for that. The devil will have his last supper. That's one good thing about hell. There is no more devil. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." And Brother Wilkerson, you've been at this long enough. You've seen enough of his destruction. I've been counseling with families that their homes about to fall apart. I preach funerals. I've had to, where the devil had got the victory in their lives. I know preachers whose sons have committed suicide. I had to go to see two little girls that rode our bus routes, and I had to tell them that their mother wasn't coming home because she had been murdered the night before. I've seen so much destruction. I'm sick and tired of what the devil has caused. Listen to me. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I'm glad the devil's not. One good thing about hell, he's going to rose forever and ever and ever. Another good thing about hell is an eternal separation from the righteous and the unrighteous. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, as a matter of fact, just turn there. Matthew chapter 25, I'd like you to look at verse number 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, to everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Go down to verse 46. He says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Those that love the Lord are going to heaven, and we don't have to live with those that don't love the Lord, those that hate the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them which perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." And then chapter 2, verse 12, "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Listen, I don't wish hell on anybody. But I'm telling you, if people want to shake their fist, spit on the Lord Jesus Christ, and cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him," that they don't want our Savior, then they're not going to heaven, and I don't want them in heaven with me. I don't want to spend eternity with a people that hates God, denies the truth, denies Jesus Christ. Listen, God's willing to forgive, God's willing to forget, God's willing to save. And you and I should be willing to forgive. And we should be concerned about those. Listen, if you'd have knocked on my door prior to the day I got saved, I probably would have given you a hard time. And I was 26 years old, and I was living in the world. And if so wouldn't have knocked on my door, I wouldn't have been kind to them. But I got news for you. They left a gospel tract, and that gospel tract sowed the seed in a heart that was prepared. It wasn't a month before. It was the day before, preacher. And my cousin had got killed. You let God break up that fallow ground. That's where prayer comes in. And so listen, the worst of sinners got to save. But if they choose to reject Christ, they're going to end up in the devil's hell. You know, we have prisons today that separate the good guys from the bad guys, supposedly. And you know, there's going to be a day, the wheat is going to be separated from the tares, and we're going to go to heaven, and those that reject Christ and don't want anything to do with God are going to end up in hell. We could go down the line of people like that. The Bible says in Psalm 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Listen, God wants us separated from the world now. Verse 6, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I'm glad I don't have to spend eternity with the bad guys. I'm glad I don't have to spend eternity with the sodomites. I'm glad I don't have to spend eternity in a place where it's corrupted and defiled like this old world that we live in. Listen to me, this world's not our home. We got a better home, a better place. But it wouldn't be better, and it wouldn't be good, it wouldn't be right if God just let everybody go there. Jesus died for all the world. He wants everybody to get saved. But if they choose to reject Jesus Christ and His forgiveness, they're going to a place called hell. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the abominable, the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the whore and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You and I don't have to spend eternity in a place that's defiled. Nothing shall enter in that defileth. I thank God that I look forward to a place called heaven. It's pure. There won't be this old flesh. How many of y'all are sinners? Raise your hand. Come on, how many of you are sinners? And every one of you raised your hand. You know you battle with that old flesh. You battle with it. The flesh against the spirit. And whoever you feed is going to be victorious. But you and I are saved sinners. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, yet not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Amen. You and I thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Because without Him, we'd all go to a devil's hell. Amen. What's good about hell? The devil and his demons are going to be there and not in heaven. What's good about hell? All the wicked are going there and the believers are not. What's good about hell? Because it should be motivation for us sinners. Sinners to be saved. Motivation for sinners to be saved. 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. We're living in a day where there is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 3:18 says there's no fear of God before their eyes. I got saved after reading a gospel tract, but on the front of that tract, it said, if you should die right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Listen, you can't get anybody to heaven until they admit that they're going to hell. You got to. People have to understand that the wage of sin is death. And if they had died, not only the physical death, but the second death. And they must be born again. But you got to admit that you're lost. I grew up in Arkansas. I knew about Christmas and Easter. I knew about the birth of Christ. And I knew about the resurrection. I knew all about Him. Listen to me. But I didn't know Him. I didn't know Him as Lord and Savior. And it was only when I got on my knees and admitted that I was lost and on my way to devil's hell and realized that I needed a Savior because I couldn't save myself. We're not saved by our own goodness, our own righteousness. No one can go to heaven based on their own righteousness. Amen, preacher. My son Daniel was saved at 6 years old. Katie's father, he's a missionary in Thailand. He sat in junior church and watched Brother Ray Dombeck give a chalk talk and illustration and message on hell. And I mean, he not only preached it, but he drew it up on that big board. And my son went home, and man, he didn't want to go to hell. And he cried out in the darkness that night. Something his brother had, was a little older than him, and he said, Chris, or he started crying, and Chris said, what's wrong? And Daniel said, I don't want to go to hell. And he said, you want to get saved? He said, yeah. And so Chris turned the light on, got his Bible right there in the bunk beds and led my son Daniel to the Lord. Amen. So I'm glad Brother Ray down back preached the message on hell. Amen. The newspaper article that said that we are learning that as a growing majority of Americans no longer feel comfortable with words like sin. No wonder. They don't feel comfortable with words like sin. And they're looking for churches where the man of God, I shouldn't call him that, but the so-called preacher is preaching everything he can, but he never mentions the word sin. People don't want to hear that. They want to come to church and feel comfortable. Listen, how in the world can someone living in sin, someone is lost, feel comfortable in the house of God where the word of God is being preached? Listen, we ought to preach hell hot. I lived in Fordyce, Arkansas. There was an old Southern Baptist preacher, Brother Wilkerson, that was saved in a Dr. John R. Rice revival meeting. This was way back yonder, and Brother Phil Beach is his name, and Brother Beach was in his 80s, and I would go by there and ask him to put his hands on me and pray for me. And he began to weep one day, and he said, Brother Files, he said, I preached my last my last service down here at the First Baptist Church. I said, why? He said, because the last message I preached on the subject of hell. The deacons come up to me afterwards and said, you'll never preach in this church again. And he just wept. He said, I remember a time where every Baptist church preached hell, hell hot. They'd put people out over hell, and people were thinking they're going to fall into hell if they didn't get saved. Listen, we need to get back to preaching the Bible. If the Bible speaks of a devil's hell and torment and hell, then how can we as call ourselves men of God if we don't preach the whole Word of God?
Amen.
We go soul winning. We need to let people know that they are a sinner. They have to understand that. They have to admit that. They have to understand that that payment for sin is a place called hell. And I don't want you to go there. Please, I don't want you to go there.
Amen.
Let me tell you what Jesus did for you. Let me tell you how he died for you, was buried, and rose again. And he's alive, and he wants to come into your heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
We've got to understand that people without Christ is going to hell.
Amen.
Then lastly, almost lastly, hell should be good motivation for soul winning.
Amen.
Jude, you quoted this verse this morning, Brother Wilkinson. Jude, verse number 20, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I need to stop there. Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Yes.
If you're depending on someone else to keep you right, you're making a mistake.
Right.
You need to look in the mirror every day and say, the one I'm looking at is the one who's got to keep himself right. You're depending on the teachers at school, the preacher. You're depending on mom and daddy or grandma or grandpa or your friend. Listen, you are making a mistake. You better develop a walk with God yourselves.
Amen.
Keep yourself in the love of God. Let me read on. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Can I ask you a question? I want you to be honest. Where will people go if they die lost? Answer me. Where will people die if they die? Where will people go if they die lost? Say it out loud. Hell. Do you believe that? You believe people go to hell if they die lost? You believe that? And what are you doing about it? If we really believe that, I think we're going to be busy about doing something about it.
Amen.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen of yet, moved with God, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Can I ask you, where will your loved ones go when they die? Where will your loved ones go? My wife is sitting here. Her father got baptized as an infant. When I got saved, my wife got saved a couple weeks later. We began praying for her dad and mom, and then I understood and learned that I too must become a soul winner and be concerned about people. We started praying for his salvation and witnessed to him. He wouldn't have nothing to do with it. He thought he was okay. 17 years of praying for his soul. He finally has heart condition that's about to take his life. He's going in and out of the hospital. And I go to the hospital and I say, Pop, I need you to tell me, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell when you die? He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, why do you say that? He said, I was baptized as an infant. He said, I'm a good man. I believe in God. And I said, Pop, what you just told me is going to send you straight to hell. And I went through the gospel with him once again. And I said, you know what's changed in my life, and you know I'm telling you the truth. I'm reading you the words of God. And I said, you must be saved or you're going to die and go to devil's hell. And I said, I'm going into that funeral home, and you're going to have your cold body laying in a casket. And I'm going to walk in there with your daughter, my wife, and your two grandsons who's prayed for you for 17 years to get saved. And I'm going to have to do all that I can to console them and them knowing that you're going to hell or gone to hell. Would you please accept Christ as your Savior and trust only Him to take you to heaven? He says, Mike, I'm okay. And I started crying, pleaded with him again. Rejected Christ. I walked out, got in the elevator, and went back to the church and told everybody he wouldn't get saved. The burden, the prayers had been lifted up. He goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That day, I didn't bring any sheaves home. There'd been a lot of weeping. There'd been a lot of seeds sown, and our hearts were aching. He got out of the hospital the next day and went and bought some new clothes, bought a suit, new shoes. And guess who showed up to hear me preach on Sunday morning? Al Nelson, my father-in-law. Guess who got saved that morning? My father-in-law, Al Nelson. God's promises were true. But I'm sure glad that my wife and I got a burden for a family member that said they're okay, but they weren't okay at all. We knew the truth. You and I need to become soul winners. That's just why we have missions conferences. This is why my son's a missionary to Thailand. People that don't even know. He's having to learn the language. There's people all over the world that need Christ. Some has never heard one time the gospel. Down south, Brother Wilkerson, we got churches on every corner. We got places around this world where there's no gospel witness. We need some young men that will sell out to God and say, you know what? There's a place in this world that God wants me to go to, and I'm willing to go. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. But you're not going to go there if you don't start right here. It's those little boys and girls. You work on them bus route. But listen, you can go through the motion. And I've been at this a long time. We have bus ministry. You can get up and go through the motion, but not be one bit concerned for the soul of that child and where it's going to spend eternity. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some true heartfelt witnessing. A soul winner needs to have a heart for souls, not just going through the motion. We don't want anybody to go to hell. Jesus died for you and died for everyone. The least we can do is be a soul winner for him. Amen. What's good about hell? The devil and the demons are going there. The wicked are going there. Hell's motivation to get saved. Hell's a motivation for soul winning. And then hell's a motivation for service. Every minute, every ministry, I should say, should have its goal to try to keep people out of hell. Every ministry we have. This Bible college is all about saving souls, preparing you to serve the Lord and serve the ministry. Listen, listen, if you don't get anything else I say, keep the main thing the main thing. And you won't be out here in one of these progressive churches. You'll get out here and you'll still be in this King James Bible. And you'll still be soul winning. You'll still be involved in missions. And you'll be still doing everything you can to keep people out of hell. We teach Sunday school, not just to teach for the business of teaching. We're trying to prepare and teach people how to live a Christian life. When I got saved, that old 68 Ford pickup truck, I went home and told my wife that I'd gotten saved. I asked her if we had a Bible. She said, no. I said, would you go buy me a Bible? And she did. And I began to read the Bible. Started attending church with my wife and two sons. And she can tell you that I got all in. Amen. As a matter of fact, she told me one time, because she was always the little angel and I was the rebel, say the least. She said, I wanted you saved, I just didn't want you this saved. What she meant by that was my Christianity is challenging hers. And when I got saved, I told the Lord, Lord, I deserve to go to hell, but you give me heaven. And you've made a friend for life. Whatever you asked me to do, I'd be willing to do it. I had long red hair back in them days. I remember standing up in front of a bunch of people I didn't know and getting baptized. You just think, well, what? That's not a big deal. It was for me. I just come out of the beer joints. The clothes I had on, the stuff that I wore to clubs, beer joints, I smelled like cigarettes. I didn't know. I mean, church folks wasn't my people. So I walk in there and I present myself for believer's baptism because I made a friend in Jesus, and Jesus made a friend out of me. And I said, you know what? Time to get my hair cut. Time to get me some church clothes. Time to start living for God. I got me a Bible, began serving the Lord. I remember the first time I was asked to teach a Sunday school class, Brother Wilkerson. It's a fourth grade boys class. Actually, my oldest son was in that class. And I said, I can't do this. These kids know more Bible than I do. They've been in church their whole life. And they told me, he said, you take that Sunday school lesson and you study it. And when you get in there on Sunday, you'll know more than them fourth graders do. And I said, well, that's You know, that challenged my pride. I can do that. I can study. So I stood up in front of that class, and I'm not kidding. My knees started shaking. My hands were shaking. Tears started coming down my eyes, and I just sat there and choked up. How can I, so unworthy, a sinner saved by God's grace, stand up here and teach somebody the precious words of God? And I remember getting through that lesson, and here I am today. I tell people, God ended up calling me to preach. If I knew God was going to call me to preach and stand here doing what I'm doing, I'd have went back to drinking. I'm just kidding about that. I'm glad. Listen to me. I've never regretted getting saved.
Amen.
And I've never regretted saying, Lord, I want to serve you.
Amen.
I've been different countries. I've had people saved all over the world. Preached my mama's funeral last Tuesday. And I had, I think, 5 of her great grandchildren accept Christ as a Savior. Had my cousin's son, who's married and has a family of his own. He accepted Christ as his Savior. I've never regretted getting saved.
Amen.
Hell is a lake of fire. It's a bottomless pit. It's a horrible tempest. Place of everlasting burnings. Furnace of fire, devouring fire. Place of torments. A place of everlasting punishment. Place where people pray, but it's too late. Place where they cry for mercy. Place where they wail. Place where they curse God. Place where they never repent. Place of filthiness, a place of weeping, a place of sorrow, place of outer darkness, a place where they have no rest, place where they gnaw their tongues, place of blackness and darkness forever, a place where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, place where they are tormented with brimstone, a place from which the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever, a place where they do not want their loved ones to come. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation, preacher?